الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. وعن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه قلت يا رسول الله من نجاه؟ فقال أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and those sisters who may be listening over receivers or streaming, we are indeed fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us life to witness yet another blessed and mubarak month of Ramadan. Allah has favored the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many ways. And amongst the many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is this precious, blessed month of Ramadan. In the ayat-e-kareema which we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the objectives of the month of Ramadan and the objectives of fasting. And in light of that, we can just do a small analysis of our lives and ask ourselves that are we really fulfilling the objective, the goal and the purpose of the month of Ramadan. Indeed, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif is greatly linked to the month of Ramadan. Indeed, the distribution of charity is greatly linked to the month of Ramadan. Indeed, the additional performance of Salah is linked to the Mubarak month of Ramadan. But the real purpose and goal of all of that was to achieve this goal, or to achieve this precious and this valuable asset of taqwa. We live in a material world and we speak about our assets and our liabilities. And sometimes you will hear those who have been blessed with wealth, they speak about their portfolios, their investment portfolios, their property portfolios. So as believers, we also can acquire certain assets that are far more precious than the assets of this world. Because the fact of the matter is that no matter how much of wealth we may have acquired in this world, but when we leave this world, everything is passed on. Our late Maulana Yusuf Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that even that house that you've purchased, you should sell yourself. And the reality of the matter, it's more like a timeshare apartment. Many people, they have these timeshares in the various hotels or wherever it may be. So you're given a certain period of time and then you have to vacate. So though you've got the title deed in your hand and you feel very privileged and proud of that title deed, but when you leave this world, that title deed gets passed on. Somebody else takes over. In Johannesburg, we went to visit one person, the doctor. He had passed away. And he actually inherited the house from his father, who was also a doctor. So it passed on from one doctor to the next doctor, and now to the children. So that's the reality of this world. Your assets in this world will be passed on. And you will not really be able to benefit from it. But there are certain assets that we can acquire as believers. It will continue to benefit us in the grave, and it will benefit us in the akhirah. And I'm sure in the various talks The ulama must have elucidated and elaborated and explained with regards to the benefits of taqwa. But in today's talk, we just want to ask ourselves the question that have we really implemented this quality of taqwa? This conscious awareness that Allah is with us and Allah is proving to us through this fast that every single believer has the capacity. You have got the capability. Sometimes we hear a talk and we say, Mauli Sahab, that's for the pious people, we can't manage. But Allah is proving to us in this fast that every single believer has got the capacity of, if we may say, self-restraint. That what's stopping you from eating? The person could go home, the wife is not there, the fridge is accessible. What's preventing the person from taking and consuming the food? It's a conscious awareness that if I will eat, Allah will not accept my fast. The person is aware that Allah is watching him at that moment. And this is what Allah Ta'ala wants to revive within every single believer, this quality of taqwa. That be conscious that Allah is with you. Allah is watching you. Allah is listening to you. Hakim Akhtar Sahib says in his poetry, Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jaha se, koi dekhta hai tujhe asma se. That which you do in secrecy, Allah is watching. And that awareness, if that becomes a reality in the person's life due to this fasting of the month of Ramadan, then we will say that alhamdulillah, this person has really fulfilled the objective of fasting. On the contrary, the person made 10 khatams of the Quran Sharif. 10 khatams of the Quran Sharif. The ulama will explain to you what happens in our community and how the women folk come forward and they send messages that, Morana, we dread the month of Ramadan. Because when the month of Ramadan comes, my husband, who as it is has a temper problem, we are all on eggshells in the home. Because now he's so temperamental and so sensitive that fasting has made him more temperamental. That fasting has made him more abusive. So although the person has made 10 khatams of the Quran Sharif, on the other hand, his abusive nature and his temper has escalated. So we will say that inshallah that khatams of the Quran Sharif, there's no doubt that it will give him rewards. But he has not really achieved the objective and the goal of the month of Ramadan. There are a few examples that come to mind with regards to this aspect of taking maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan. We know that these first 10 days of Ramadan are known as days in which the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pouring. Allah ta'ala's rahmah is descending. And this rahmah is not discriminatory in any nature. Every single believer can become drenched in this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to make an effort to fast in the true sense of the word. That we learn to restrain ourselves in every single aspect of our lives. Once, Akim Akhtar Sahib was traveling with his sheikh in one of the Arab countries, and it was exceptionally hot, 45, 50 degree heat. And Shah Baran Haq Sahib asked the driver that, why don't you switch the aircon on? Feeling very hot. So the driver said, Hazrat, the aircon is on. But perhaps somebody has got a window that is open. So Hakim Akhtar Sahib, he says, Rahmatullah Ali, he says, I looked and I saw my window was actually open, so I closed it. He said, when I closed the window, immediately the car started to feel the coolness of the aircon. So Shah Abran Haq Sahib said, we learned such an important lesson. That the aircon was generating cool air. It was working. But the problem was that the window of sins was open. And in the same way in our lives, in this month of Ramadan, we are generating lots of nur with the tilawat of the Quran and Majeed, with our sehri, with our fasting, with our charities, with our du'as. But the windows of sins in our lives, that we're not closing. So we're not going to really feel the true effect of that fast. Until and unless we don't close those windows, we don't make an effort to close those windows one by one, we are not going to really feel the effect of the coolness of our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, our fasting, our charities and our du'as. Hence, respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan is not only about fasting, but it's about going that extra mile in learning to restrain ourselves in every aspect. It's the ideal opportunity for change. Shaitan has been restrained. We only have to deal with the enemy within ourselves, which of course is the greatest enemy, our nafs. Ulama ikram explain that we have got two enemies, nafs and shaitan. But nafs is the greater enemy, because shaitan himself went astray because of his own nafs. There was no shaitan to cause shaitan to go astray. It was his own nafs within himself. And in this month of Ramadan, shaitan has been kept at bay. We now have to deal with the greatest enemy, and that's the enemy within. And due to the nature of fasting, that the person, his food intake is low, so the energy levels are also low. So Allah is making an extremely conducive environment for us to get this nafs under control, to control our eyes, to control our ears, to control the tongue. And it is on this that I want to tie it up back to the hadith which we've quoted, narrated by Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, wherein this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya Rasulullah, how can I achieve salvation? I want to be saved from the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." I'm elaborating. I want to be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Kindly advise me of the steps that I should take to attain and achieve this salvation. Of course, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had great concern for the akhirah. They had great concern for the hereafter. As we say, you will find the businessmen and we find the older people, they'll advise the younger ones and say, "You just started now, but invest now for your retirement. You should invest early." On a lighter note, one person came to our late Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullahi. He said, "Maulana, I got a big problem because my brother is telling me I must invest and invest, but I don't even have money. How am I going to invest?" So Maulana went to that brother. He said, "You're telling your brother to invest. He doesn't even have enough money to buy a good vest. He doesn't even have enough money to buy a good vest." So we are telling people to prepare for the future. That prepare for the future. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were really preparing for the real future. And that's the akhirah, where the person will live forever and ever and ever. Behlul was a very pious person who hid his piety in his simple nature. Harun al-Rashid would keep him in his company because of his humor, and he would do some simple things that would make everyone smile. So on one occasion, Harun al-Rashid came to him and he said, "Behlul, I got this walking stick. It's meant for the most foolish person on earth. If you find anyone more foolish than yourself, you can pass it on. But for now, I think you should keep it." So a few days passed by and Harun al-Rashid became very ill. So Behlul came to visit him. He said, "What is wrong?" So Harun al-Rashid said, "I feel my time is up. I'm going to be leaving this world." So Behlul said, "How long are you leaving for?" He said, "Hey Behlul, when you leave this world, you leave forever. You don't come back again." So he said, "What preparations have you made for this journey?" So obviously Harun al-Rashid, in his humility, he said, "I haven't really made preparations." So Behlul responded, he said, "Harun al-Rashid, you are that king that when you undertake a journey and you're traveling from one destination to the next, then you make preparations. And the longer your journey, the more elaborate the preparations. And you are telling me now that you're going to travel forever and you've made no preparations. I think I've found someone more foolish than myself. I think you should keep the stick." But the lesson that we learn, that in this world, the person is going for Umrah, is going for overseas to go and do some sightseeing. Sometimes the person prepares 1 month in advance. Sometimes 3 months in advance. Sometimes 6 months in advance the person is preparing, because he makes sure that my business, you know, December time, so I got to make sure that business is running. So let me get the manager in, train him up well, because I want the business to be rolling. So the person knows he's going to be away and he wants everything to be functioning, so he prepares well in advance. Our journey to Akhirah, what preparations have we made? And this is the question that we have to be asking. And this is the concern that the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, how can I achieve salvation? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded. He said, Amlik alayka lisanak. We can translate it as control your tongue. But if we really want to understand the meaning, this Amlik comes from Malik or Malaka, that become a Malik over your tongue. Become a master over your tongue. That you should be the controller, you should be the master of your tongue, and your tongue should be your ghulam. Your tongue should be subservient to you. Muhaddithin explained that Rasulullah ﷺ spoke about the tongue, because indeed the tongue is, in the words of Maulana Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, that this tongue is either a weapon of mass destruction or a tool of great construction. The person, by the utterance of the tongue, he could have been out of the fold of Islam. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. He just recited the kalima with the belief within his heart, and subhanallah, he became and he achieved his ticket to Jannah. Just the utterance of the tongue. The person, that girl was completely strange to him. He put forward the proposal, she accepted. And with the utterance of the tongue, he said, Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, and she becomes permissible for him. So this tongue is so powerful. The person can use the tongue to reconcile between two parties that are fighting. And Allah has encouraged us in the Quran and Majid. And the person who unites two parties that are fighting has been praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are doing the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by uniting the ummah and uniting families. And on the contrary, just the utterance of one tongue can take the person out of the fold of Islam. Two homes could have been, or a home could have been a place of such enjoyment and happiness and joy and comfort. And the utterance of the tongue can devastate that entire home, the issuing of the talaq, and that entire home is devastated, hearts are broken, children are in anguish. Two families are no longer talking to one another. And similarly, the person can create friction in the community by the usage of the tongue. That's why one poet says, جِرَاحَةُ السِّنَانِ لَهَا الْتِيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ اللِّسَانُ. That the wounds that are afflicted by means of the spear, that can still heal. But those wounds which are afflicted by the tongue, they sometimes never heal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is exhorting that control this tongue. Similarly, we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Al-muslim, man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Who is the true Muslim? That other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hands. Ulama explained that if the person gets the tongue under control, everything else will be under control. And in today's community, by extension, our chats have now extended into the cyberspace, on social media platforms. The person doesn't think twice about what he says on the chat group. And sometimes it's very easy to say whatever you feel like saying to the person behind a cell phone, kilometers away. But yet if that same person was right in front of you, now the person will think twice. That's not bravery. Some people say, mashallah, such bravery he has. Bravery is when you can say it directly to the person in his face, not hundreds of kilometers away behind a cell phone, what we call the keyboard warriors of our community. So ask yourself the question, that my message that I'm putting on this group, is it going to benefit me in the Akhirah? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That there is not an utterance that emanates from you, except that there is an angel that is recording it. And not only recording what you said, but Allah Ta'ala also keeps a record of the reason that you said it. You can say, I said it because I wanted to speak haqq. But Allah Ta'ala knows that your intention was that you were trying to, you were engaging in a smear campaign because you wanted to disgrace and humiliate the next person. You can hide that from the community, but you can never hide that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will question you on the day of Qiyamah. That why did you make the statement? That is why Shaykh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah Ali used to say with regards to the tongue, he used to say, pehle socho, phir tolo, phir bolo. That first think about the statement that you want to make. Ponder over it. Then measure the statement. Do some calculations. That by me making the statement, what am I trying to achieve? Am I trying to teach someone? If I'm trying to teach somebody, and I don't know the person, will that really be effective? Or should I first develop a relationship with the person, and once I have a relationship with the person, and I win him over, and now if I advise him, it'll have an impact. On one occasion, our late Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali delivered a fiery talk in Masjid al-Nur. So after the talk, I went to Maulana and I said, Maulana, mashallah, you were in form, you were really lashing out. So Maulana explained to me, he said, Maulana, you have to understand that I am like a fatherly figure in the community. I am like a fatherly figure in the community. And if a father scolds the son may be upset, but they say, this is my father after all. But now if one new alim or young alim comes and says the same thing that I say, it will have the opposite effect. So subhanallah, look at the hikmah and the wisdom. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Invite people with wisdom. Now by putting that message on that WhatsApp group, you're saying that you want people to change, but is it going to have that effect? Or is it going to create more friction within the community? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves before we are asked that question before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, control the tongue. Related to the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. That the person, the gist of that hadith, the person who does not abandon false talks, and muhaddithin explain, it incorporates slander, lies, ghiba, tale-bearing, creating friction within the community. In other words, the usage of the tongue, the abuse of the tongue. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةً فِي أَن يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابًا. Allah has got no need that this person has left and is not eating and drinking. It makes no difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a warning, meaning that that entire fast is of no benefit. The person will not benefit by fasting that day. Hence, respected elders and brothers, in this month of Ramadan, it is the ideal opportunity. Control the tongue. Control our messages on these social media groups. Use, if you want to be a keyboard warrior, then unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the ummah in one piece. Allahu Akbar. What was the condition of Madinatul Munawwara? Our late Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah used to say that hypothetically, if there were 100 people living in Medina Sharif and one person was going through hardship, there were 99 people there to support him, to help him, to feel his pain. And if there was one person going through some happiness, perhaps the birth of a child, wedding in the family, there were 99 people to share in the happiness and to celebrate with him. Today we find that if one person is succeeding, there's hundreds of people that are burning in jealousy and hasad that this person must fail. His organization must fail. His business must fail. And if the person is failing, we say, I deserve it. It's about time it happened to him. Allahu Akbar, this is the condition of our hearts. How far we have drifted from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi left the ummah in one piece, united. They had diversity, but they were united. They were there for one another. They were supporting one another. Today, we should be careful, respected elders and brothers. How will we face Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah if the Nabi of Allah is to ask that, why did you create division within my community? Why did you create friction within your own family? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, control this tongue. Control this tongue, especially in the month of Ramadan, because though you are fasting, we can easily engage in ghibah, which becomes so common these days. talking bad about this person and that organization and this person. And in the process, we forget ourselves. Maulana Yusuf told one person who found some objection in with regards to Maulana wearing the watch on his left hand. And yet at the same time, he was involved in so many sins. So Maulana told him that you are concerned about the fly that is sitting on the nose of the next person, but you've forgotten the python that's wrapped around your own neck. And this is what happens when we make ghibah. Oh, you know about this one and that one and this organization, and he did this and she did that. So we're so focused on everyone else, we forget about our own weaknesses. That person who is focusing on his own weaknesses or her own weaknesses, where have they got time to focus on the weaknesses of others? May Allah grant me tawfiq. So this hadith continues, but time does not allow us. This much, respected elders and brothers, it's not about completing the hadith. It's about how much of that hadith we were able to practice on. So therefore, once again to recap, this month of Ramadan is for the development of taqwa, that we restrain ourselves from violating any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that light, in this month of Ramadan, let us learn to guard our tongues and guard the messages that we put on these media groups and social groups. Let us use our tongue constructively. As Maulana said, that this tongue can either be a weapon of mass destruction or a tool of great construction. Use this tongue to build the community, to build your family, to unite your family, to unite your community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to fast in the best possible manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi.